Welcome to the Twinkle Talks EYFS podcast. Working in the early years is busy, funny, messy, and exhausting. Join me, Shana, some of the Twinkle EYFS team, special guest speakers, and other early years practitioners as we talk honestly about our experiences. Whether you're listening for CPD, on your commute, or to help you relax, Twinkle EYFS will share everything you need to know about all things early years.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Twinkle Talks EYFS with the Private Early Years team. My name's Katie.
And I'm Charlotte.
I'm Fliss.
And I'm Hannah.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the private early years experience of transitions. So that could be so many different types of transition. For example, moving rooms. Any other ones?
Going to school from preschool.
A new sibling.
Moving house.
Feels like a quiz, doesn't it? How many types of transition are there? And we thought throughout the episode, we'd share our personal experiences of how we've helped children transition, how they tend to have run in our settings in the past, and just some hopefully generally helpful tips to help you next time you're transitioning. So maybe if we look at one that we'll have all done regardless of the age group, which is helping children transition through to their new room. So from babies to toddlers, toddlers to preschool. Did you guys have a certain age where this would happen automatically, or a set of milestones that the children would have to hit before they moved up? Like, how did that look for your settings?
So in my setting, it was always based on like their age. So when they turned three, or the month that they were turning three, they would move through into the preschool room. It tended to always be the case, like there seemed to always be space for them to move through, and we didn't really that often send anyone through early or like late. It was often just in that month that they turned three.
The experience of moving from toddler room to preschool room is quite a change, isn't it? Because from a child's perspective, you have a lot of attention on you, whether you're in the 1-4 or the 1-5 ratio, and that almost doubles, and then all of a sudden that child's on a 1-8 ratio. So that's a big change for them and a big transition.
Yeah, I think for us as well, most of the time a lot of our children were ready to go through, but there was the ones that maybe were a bit more shy, not as a outgoing child, that you'd always feel a bit sorry for them as they were moving through, because as though they were like developmentally capable to be in the preschool room, you could tell that they were just probably going to get like swallowed up when they were in there and like not have that like one-to-one care that they would need as much as they did in the toddler room. But they all seemed all right with it, and it was always nice to just pop in and see how they were getting on, and they all just sort of seem grown up, don't they, as soon as they move through into the other room.
Although when you go from toddlers to preschool, and obviously you've got the children that are getting ready to leave for school, I always used to think that no matter what you did, the toddlers just, well, the fresh preschoolers, the older toddlers, just looked absolutely tiny.
Yeah, that is true. And I always found that they'd just stick with their friends from the toddler room, not really like make friends with the older ones. They probably were a bit like intimidated by them, but yeah, that's how it worked in my setting.
We always used to, I think it's quite common practice, is that we used to have like a riser group, and that rising group, just before they transitioned over, in for some children it would be longer, for some children it would just be a couple of weeks or a couple of sessions, but they would go up to that room with their key person and they'd join in with the activities, but on that more supportive basis, so it wasn't such a scary transition when they went on their own. Like you would when a child joins the setting, then they start to do a few sessions independently. That would be ideal, but the reality of working in a private early year setting is I just don't think that that happened as much as it could have done, because sending a toddler into preschool meant that you needed another member of staff, because it would quite often alter the ratios, which is always quite tricky to manage with transition periods through a nursery.
Yeah, I think my setting used to do that before COVID, and then they stopped it after COVID because of like the bubbles that they were in. And then during COVID, and then it never seemed to really come back when I worked there. Whether they've reintroduced it now, I don't know. But they tended to like cover a lot in the other room, so they get to know the practitioners in the room that they were going into by that practitioner coming into our room. But yeah, we never really did the sessions where they spent time in there. Whereas in my current setting, they do some sessions, like you said, like before they go and spend a bit of time in the I mainly work in the baby room there, so in the they go down into the toddler room and spend like maybe an afternoon in there and then come back, so they seem more ready to move.
I think it's really interesting to touch upon the effect of COVID and transitions, actually, because I even though that seems like a lifetime ago, you're right in that it wasn't as much of a thing because of all of the bubbles we had to do. But you worked in an NHS nursery, Charlotte. Did transitions change much for you because of COVID or around that time?
I mean, for a while we were all in one room. So it was like babies and preschool. Literally everyone was in one room right at the beginning because we'd hardly had any children coming in. So then when they started to come back, a lot of them obviously had that transition of coming back to nursery from being at home for so long.
Really interesting.
They struggled with that emotional, you know, challenge of actually coming back to nursery. So then it was like some of them would have had a birthday in COVID as well. So when they came back, we'd be like, oh, they're going to be in toddler room or they're going to be in preschool room. So they've got like a double amount of emotional, you know, challenges to undertake because they're coming back to nursery and then they're being moved into another room. So there was no settling in visits or anything really. They just got told that they were going into preschool. So it was it was a lot for them to take in, actually, thinking about it now.
Yeah, when I think about transition, you always think about it being a slow and supportive process. It's not supposed to be a shock to the system. And you raised some really good points there in that children came back after being at home for such a long time. And actually, they came back to a completely different group of people or different age range, which is sort of a similar transition to when children are just starting a new setting or children are coming into a school where everything is changing. And that really highlights the importance of that planning and preparing for a transition. What did that look like in your settings, Hannah?
So I often worked either sort of in the management role or in the baby room. And with baby room, there's such a broad spectrum between the difference between like a 5-month-old baby and a nearly 2-year-old. And it would often get to the point where really they need to go into the toddler room. So we'd start transitioning them sort of slowly. And maybe an afternoon, if the toddler room was a bit quieter, they'd go and spend an afternoon in there. So it was more of a gradual process. So that actually it gave them the opportunity to play with the resources in the older room, but also was part of their transition, so that when they did move, it was familiar for them. So that was something that we did quite a lot.
Yeah, it seems like for everyone that element of planning and preparing is really important, but from my experience, not to put a dampener on it, it's that that couldn't always happen, because the reality is that a private early years setting isn't just for education, it's also a business, and it needs to make profit to succeed, which means sometimes a child wouldn't be able to have all of those planning and preparing sessions because it would mean, for example, having to get a whole member of staff in to cover that day or the afternoon. So my experience is those transitions didn't always go the way you would want them to go. I don't know if you guys had any similar tricky experiences with transitions at your settings.
I think ideally you'd have an extra member of staff so that to allow those transitions. But like you've just said, Katie, that's not always possible. I think it's kind of having that flexibility and looking at, like, you know, if you've got a few children off sick, utilising that time with maybe a bit of extra staffing to try and plan ahead and think, well, we've got so-and-so moving in a few weeks, let's use that opportunity to do a bit of transition time. It's kind of been a bit flexible if you haven't got...
It's a very classic early years of, like, you've got to think on your feet. You've just got a random member of staff free. Go, go, go.
Yeah, and trying to utilise that where it's... Obviously, it's not possible to even have enough staff sometimes, let alone an extra one, to sort of facilitate a nice transition process. So it's trying to make the best of kind of what you've got.
We used to get some of the toddlers that were the more confident ones that we didn't think would need as many visits, that would literally just be like, oh, they're starting tomorrow, and then they would literally start in preschool tomorrow.
No notice, just, oh, you've got a newbie.
Yeah, I'd come in on like a late shift and I'd be like, oh, why is so-and-so in here? And they'd be like, oh, they've moved up. And I'd be like, oh, okay, well, one, no one told me. So I don't know who their key person is because I haven't figured that out yet. But yeah, that's great.
I also think in situations like that, what about the parents? Like, that's really bad. Like, because some parents need a lot more notice that their child's going to be transitioning. Like in them situations, like what you've just said, Charlotte, imagine like the parent turning up that day, and which it can happen. Like I've seen it happen as well. Like it's not been communicated properly, and the parent turns up. You're like, oh, they're not in here today. They're in that room, and the parent stood there like, what? You could have given me some warning.
That's the reality of the business side of it though, isn't it? Like sometimes these things had to happen for everything else to be okay. You know what I mean? She says, like, raising her eyebrows.
We usually join on an evening in preschool. So a lot of the toddlers would come into preschool at the end of the day from like 4:30. So a lot of them already knew the preschool room very well. And sometimes they'd come in on a lunchtime if they didn't sleep. So a lot of the children that had already been coming in and out a lot didn't really get visits either, because they were like, well, we've kind of had them sort of thing. So then they just automatically just come up.
Yeah. I think the biggest transition that we're all actively involved in at nurseries is that transition to school, and that can look quite different from setting to setting. I always get really surprised to hear that settings have teachers from the schools come to visit, because that's never been the case in any of the settings I've worked at. So I would love to know how those days go, because I would be like, oh, another person watching me.
Yeah, I used to have teachers come quite a lot. Quite liked it, actually, because it was another person to talk to as well, instead of the same people that I work with, in a way. But yeah, because I used to have to ring round all the schools to arrange the visit. So it would either be me taking them to the school or the teacher coming to nursery. And a lot of the time the teacher would arrange to come and see them in nursery. They're in a kind of like natural environment in a way. So they're going to, they get a bit of a chance to see what they're, you know, really like and what they like to play with and stuff like that. But the teachers that obviously couldn't do it because of staffing and things, they would have like an open day at their school. So we would go up on the days that they were letting the children come in to have a look round. And then sometimes the parents would take them, sometimes we'd take them. But it was quite a big thing to organise. Like, it used to stress me out so bad because I had like a massive chart on the wall of who was going where at what times. And then I had to arrange to get staff in.
And that's to keep track of on top of everything else.
I had to keep track of like which staff I needed for each day. Like, I'd have to tell my manager how many bank staff I needed, what shift I needed them to come in to cover so that we could go up to the schools. So I'd sit on the bus as well. That was stressful. Trying to sit on the bus to the school. But yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting because we also didn't, at the settings I've worked at, we didn't take the children in either. Like, the parent would just come in one day and be like, oh, we've got a settling in session at school on this day, so I'll pick them up early or what. Like, it was never anything we were involved in. Like, my main experience of school transitions is just filling in the transition form and just making sure I got it done in time. I don't know what it was like in your settings for this, or Hannah.
In mine, I didn't really have experience of it. I didn't really go in the preschool room during that time, so I don't actually know what they did. But I definitely don't remember any teachers coming in or them taking them out at the setting. I think it was very much phone calls with the teacher and the keepers. Mm-hmm. And they just like hand over some information as well as the form.
We had quite a few feeder schools in our area. So we would, like Charlotte, take groups of children up to the school for like their settling in session. And like Charlotte said, that was a bit of a logistical nightmare, trying to make sure the right children went and at the right time. And then sometimes teachers would come in as well from like a different school. And then say there was just one child going to one random school, that teacher probably wouldn't come and visit. So then it was trying to schedule a phone call with them. And then we'd do like a sort of transition report as well. And it was kind of making sure that we gave the right kind of information that the teachers were looking for as well. So it was, yeah, it was quite a big task. And it probably would start around like after the Easter holidays.
School transition time is such a busy time in preschool. And it sounds like, to be honest, Charlotte, it sounds terribly busy for you based on what you were saying. That's so much additional responsibility on top of what you're doing day to day.
From about April to September, those months were just chaotic, like absolutely crazy. But yeah, I had to like get everyone all the transition forms and like even getting them enveloped up, addresses on, stamps, taking them to the post office, getting them sent on time, even stuff like that was like stressful. Oh god, I've got to get them in by this time. But then obviously like your staff are doing them, so you have to kind of put them on a, you need to get them done sort of thing.
Yeah,
but then we'd also have like some of the toddlers transitioning in, and yeah, it was a bit of a hectic. I used to love it but hate it at the same time.
Yeah, I can totally get that vibe. As it is in any age group, it's so heartwarming to see the children hit their milestones. And that's so great when they come back to you like, I went to big school today and I did this. But then the other part of you is like, okay, great. All the paperwork for me means I've got to do a form. I've got to call the school. I've got to tell your parents. I've got to get blah, blah to do blah, blah's form. It's a lot.
We also had these like, I had to create these like 6-week challenge packs as well for every single child leaving school. So each week we'd do a different challenge to get them ready for school, like putting the socks and shoes on and like little challenges they had to do. So I had to make all these big packs up as well that we used to send out to parents. It was a lot, but it was fun. Like, I liked going to the schools with them and taking them out and seeing them be excited for it at the same time. But it is a lot of extra work in preschool.
From a practitioner perspective, it's a nice day out. Like, going on trips was always stressful, but it was a good time for the couple of hours you were out there. So, like, it was always a fun time. And From the different things that we've said throughout the episode, it's clear that the priorities when it comes to any transition, whether that's a child in your room is having a new sibling or they're moving up to school, it's preparing and planning for that with the parents if they're transitioning somewhere, that new place, and the child themselves is really important. But actually, from what we've all said, like working with the people around you internally and externally in partnership is really important as well. Thanks for listening to another episode of Twinkle Talks EYFS. As always, you can follow us on a variety of our social media channels, including our Facebook groups, Instagram, Pinterest, X, YouTube. If it's a social media platform, we're probably on it. And in the meantime, we'll speak to you in a few weeks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So that's it for today's episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. If you would like to join in or would like to know more, then come and find us on our social media sites. We have a Facebook page, Facebook groups, an Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube. All the links of where to find us will be in our podcast description. Come and join the conversation. And whatever you're doing today, I hope you have a great day.